The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." Then the slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." Jesus answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear church, we often hear today's parable of the wheat and the weeds, also known as the parable of the wheat and the tares, and wild ideas with unanswerable questions swirl about the devil and fiery furnace or eternal judgment. And at first glance, it may be hard to relate to a text that sounds like election. But what if I told you that this is a parable of hope? What if I told you to consider this parable in light of the parables around it? Remember that this parable does not exist in a vacuum or stand alone. No, Jesus is in the midst of his third great sermon in Matthew's gospel. And this one is the second parable about the kingdom using plant metaphors. This parable of the weeds among the wheat is nestled between the parable of the sower and good soil from last week and the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. At the end of each of those surrounding parables are messages of hope and the promise of God's kingdom that is generous and surprising and overwhelmingly abundant. Recognizing that, we then read today's parable of weeds among the wheat in a hope-filled light too. And so it makes me wonder, why does Jesus need these parables to end with hope? Well, I guess it would be that his hearers, you know, that huge crowd of desperate people, the hungry and thirsty, the hurt, the sick, the kicked out, the oppressed, the marginalized, the whole host of people listed in the Beatitudes had been following him and were now standing on the beach with Jesus teaching from a boat. So it might have been them who needed to hear a message of hope, a message of promise, a message of, while what you are going through right now is tough, God sees you. God is in control, and God writes the final chapter. not evil. When the servants come to the sower and mention the weeds, it was because they could see the difference between the wheat and the weeds. At maturity, the weight of the grain in the wheat bends the head down low. The wheat then is noticeable because of its fruit. And since there's not much of anything in the heads of darnels and cockles of the weeds, the weedy plants continue to stand up straight. When Matthew's theology, bearing fruit means living out the kingdom of heaven. Bearing fruit, bearing grain, means following on the way, which means doing what Jesus did, having the same ethics and vision of Jesus, treating others like he treated them. With Jesus as our model of what the kingdom of heaven looks like, bearing fruit means actually doing what Jesus himself teaches. And so Jesus is teaching about not judging others. Why? Because we do tend to judge each other. I mean, just look at the number of viral videos of folks going crazy over just wearing masks in public. The servants ask the landowner if he wants them to go out and pull the weeds from the field, to get rid of the plants considered out of place. But the householder replies differently. No, for in plucking the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until the harvest time, and then God will take care of things. The landowner's no to the question, do you want us to go and pull up the weeds? Does not mean that we can't call sin sin and evil evil. We can still point to something wrong and say, that's not right. One commentary points out that the good seed is never threatened in this parable. No matter how many weeds are planted in the field, no doubt whatsoever is expressed about the good seed's ability to germinate and bear fruit. In fact, it was the very produce of the good grain that showed the failure of the weeds in the first place. It's the compassion and care of the good Samaritan for the beaten man on the road that showed the failures of those who walked by doing nothing. The children of the kingdom are known by their fruits. So look, friends, in the end of the age, at the divine harvest, literally in God's timing, God is going to take care of things. Yes, there may be evil in this world. There may be even real close to you. There may be even seeds of evil in you that don't bear godly fruit. But put your trust and hope in the Lord, and you will be all right. In the end, God is going to be the one to clean away the sin and all that is not life-giving, and all that gets in between God and you, so that you can experience the fullness of God's grace and glory. Jesus is plainly telling the crowds, which really include you and me, to stop judging others and focus on growing. Keep on growing toward God. Keep on doing what God tells you is good. Keep on being in right relationship with God and your neighbor. Keep bearing good grain, because we aren't the sower and we aren't even the weed eaters. We are called to grow and not pretend to be the divine harvester, deciding who stays and who goes, who shines and who burns. God's going to take care of that. And just like God's got the end of times under control, God's got us now. In the midst of this crazy pandemic that makes no sense and has impacted almost every part of our daily lives, the only reason I can tell you that we are going to be all right is because I trust that God has us. This doesn't mean that we don't have to do our part to reduce the risks for each other. Rather, knowing that we are in this together helps us do our parts to reduce the risk for each other as best we can right now. It's not a perfect scenario, but if anything, today's parable frees us from obsessing over a perfect scenario or a perfectly weed-freed field so that we can hear the words, wherever we are, grow. As children of God, we grow by faith and not by judging. God taking care of the things in the end is a message of hope. And in hope, we are saved. It's a hope that actively waits for evil to be undone. And what do we do while we wait? We grow in the soil that God gives us. We grow with the water that God pours over us. We grow in the light that God shines all around us. And we grow in the freedom to live justly and bear good grain now. God bless you in your growing. Amen.